Do you know what to do if the IRS gives you your ticket to tax court? Hello, my name's Jim Wade. I'm a tax attorney here in Maine, and welcome to Tax Resolution Talk. In this episode, we're going to be discussing what to do if you get that letter from the IRS that says, hey, we're going to assess you additional taxes, but you have a right to challenge it in U.S. tax court. We call this the golden ticket to tax court because for many taxpayers, this is your opportunity to have your dispute resolved without first having to pay the taxes due. So let's kind of set the background a little bit because you may not understand what I mean by this ticket to tax court. Well, generally, for most people who come to my office, what's happened is they've received a letter from the IRS after either an audit or examination. If it isn't an audit, typically it's what they call a CP2000 notice that's received. And it says, hey, whether the audit or exam says, you know, you either income hasn't been reported or expenses, you know, either don't exist or are overstated. So the IRS will then say your tax should be something more than what you have in your return. They're required to send you a letter after this audit or exam's done and say, look, here's what we're intending to assess against you, whether it be the tax itself or penalties, and it has to give you a right to be heard in U.S. tax court. This is what we call your golden ticket to tax court. The reason people like myself, tax professionals, call it that is you can resolve your case, you know, with the IRS, this dispute, through tax court in an efficient and relatively quick process. When normally, you know, dealing with the IRS, I'll call it quick because compared to the alternatives, it still can take you about 6 months to a year to resolve, but it's relatively quick compared to other methods. And it can be done cheaper than the alternative, and we'll get to that in a moment. But tax court allows you to have your dispute heard and get it resolved without first paying the full taxes, interest, and penalties. Because what happens is when this notice comes out, you've got 90 days to file this petition. Essentially a complaint, you would call it, when you go to a court when you want to sue someone. In other words, you're telling the court, we want to put our dispute before you regarding the IRS. If you miss the 90-day window, you no longer can have your case heard without paying the taxes, interest, and penalties due. You then got to pay all that, file a claim for a refund with the IRS, wait for the IRS to deny it, then you go to federal district court, file a complaint, and have the case heard through the normal process. That can be very expensive and very time-consuming. It's not streamlined at all. I can tell you, having dealt with some federal tax litigation, not directly but tangentially, that it takes a very long time, and it seems like there's never-ending motions and filings and things along those lines, and it can become very expensive very quickly. U.S. tax court, because it's a specialized court, it only hears tax cases, and it's designed to be done in a relatively straightforward and simplified manner compared to other courts, it can be done in a much better fashion. So let me give you a quick rundown of how this all works. So what will happen is, once the IRS decides that they want to pursue you for additional taxes, interest, and penalties, they will send you a letter. The letter will have in the upper right corner, typically it will have a CP, which is means computer paragraph, CP3219A designation. And that's saying, hey, this is your notice of deficiency or statutory notice of deficiency. We call them SNODs for the abbreviation. And we'll say, you have, we're going to assess you additional taxes, and this is your right to challenge our assessment. On the top right corner, there'll be a date. You have 90 days from that date to file a petition. Now, the IRS, I want to say, helpfully gives you that date, but you have to be very careful. The IRS has made mistakes before, and unfortunately, because the law is very clear that 90 days is jurisdictional, meaning it's not something that you can get an excuse for or dispensation to file after that date. that's a drop-dead date. And the IRS, if it makes a mistake, is too bad, so sad for you. The IRS can't be held responsible for it because you should have checked the notice date and counted the 90 days yourself. So that's, you know, it is unfortunately life in the big city, as they say. But just look at it. If you do get one of these notices, make sure you count the 90 days. So from there, and I'm going to point out something here in a moment as to why these notices are kind of deceptive beyond the date in the corner. But generally it says, hey, you got 90 days, file a petition in tax court. You then can try to work it out with the IRS, or you can file the petition. You file the petition, you then will get contacted by IRS appeals because it'll go to the court first. The court then will kick it back into an independent arm of the IRS to resolve this before trial. This works for the IRS, for you, and for the courts because the informal resolution of this dispute works for everybody because 99% of the time these cases are resolved, you know, at appeals, and it just makes it go quick. And because you don't have a lot of time and money to waste, it's good to kind of take care of it this way. I have found IRS appeals officers, they, in some cases, they can kind of have their bias, but generally they're trying to be fair. They want to resolve the cases in a way that I won't say necessarily makes the taxpayer happy, but at least is acceptable by the taxpayer if, let's say, the taxpayer is wrong. But they want to work with you to get this done so that they can move these cases along and you can get this behind you. Now, if you can't work it out with appeals, that's okay. Then you'll have your case proceed to your trial date. And if when you look at the petition form, and I'll have a link in the show notes, you have your state, it'll tell you where you can file a tax court, you know, I'm sorry, where your case will be heard. You'll be allowed to have it heard generally in, you know, some of the larger cities in the area. But if your case falls under a certain amount, you can have it heard in different spots around your state. Typically, these spots are more convenient to most taxpayers. So, for example, in Maine, you can have your case heard in Boston. But if your case has a smaller amount, at least under $75,000, you can have it heard in Portland, Maine. So for Maine people, Portland, Maine is a lot more convenient than Boston. So you'll have your trial date assigned, whether it's either a regular case or a small tax case. You'll appear at what they call the calendar call. This is nothing more than a roll call. The court will introduce itself. You know, the judges will introduce themselves. They'll say, hey, you know, we're looking for all the parties. They'll call off names. You raise your hand or say, you know, I'm here. At which point the court will then say, all right, it's this opportunity for the IRS and taxpayers to resolve this before we have to go to any final trial on this. Again, another opportunity to settle this informally without the court getting involved. And if that doesn't work, then you go in and have your trial. Again, rather informal. It's not, I don't do a lot of these cases. I've never had the opportunity to go to trial on any of my tax court cases, so I don't want to go too far on a limb here. But my understanding is they tend to be less formal as some other cases are. It's still, you have to follow requirements of, you know, asking proper questions, introducing proper evidence, but the courts do try to work with, you know, pro se or people who represent themselves to get it done. You're not going to get a very long trial, generally. If you do have something that has to be take some time, you're probably going to be set off on a special trial date. But that's how that, you know, that's generally how it works. And as it sounds, the whole goal is to get this settled out. So generally, you're never going to go to trial. And I think for many people, when they bring me these letters, they're terrified that they're going to have to go to court. And so they don't really pay attention to the 90 days, whether consciously or subconsciously, because the fear of doing something, you know, they're afraid that if they go to court, that's going to end up being horribly bad for them. But hopefully with this description of how it works, you'll see that, hey, there's some opportunities there to get it negotiated without going into an actual trial. So there's no reason to fear it. I've done plenty of these short of a trial, and they tend to be very informal and all working towards getting it settled. Now, I want to get back to the letter, and this, like I said, it's not deceptive, but it's certainly does not help taxpayers. Because when you look at the letter, it'll say, hey, you've got 90 days. Once the 90 days passes, you don't have a right for any further, you know, appeal. But it mentions, hey, if you want to give us some additional information or if you want us to consider something we didn't before, call us and we'll try to work it out before the 90 days runs. This is the trap. So for many people, they don't understand that this 90 days is set in stone. There's no, I made a mistake, I sent to the wrong address, I forgot, the dog ate it, doesn't matter, IRS screwed up, doesn't matter. If you miss it 90 days, no go. So people are saying, well, look, I'm working with the IRS, I'm trying to get them to consider this paperwork, and it works out better for the IRS and for me because we get it resolved without having to go to court. And they don't respond by the 90 days, you know, by filing a petition, and they're out. And I've gotten so many of these in the last 6 months. It's heartbreaking because now you have to start looking at what are your alternatives, which are not as good as find this tax court case. So you've got at least two big ones. We call the first one audit reconsideration. So if you had an audit and the IRS didn't consider certain information, we call it like new evidence, then you can provide it to the IRS and ask them to reconsider it based on this new evidence. If it's something that has already been considered, well, then you're out of luck. You can also do an offer and compromise doubt as to liability, which is kind of a mouthful, but essentially it is, dear IRS, this assessment shouldn't stand because it's wrong. Here's why you're wrong. And you provide the IRS with what your evidence is for why this assessment is wrong. It can be either, you know, affidavits, summaries, documentation, new calculations, stuff like that. And then there's the what we mentioned before, pay the taxes, interest, and penalties in full, file a claim for a refund, wait for it to be denied, and then go through federal district court, which is not ideal. So that's why it's important to pay attention to your ticket to tax court, because it gives you a right to have your case heard in a rather cost-effective and efficient manner. It's not perfect. Sometimes with more complicated cases, you know, you may not want to handle it yourself. You may need to hire help for it. But generally, most people, if you get the traditional CP-2000 saying, hey, you've omitted either income on your tax return or something wasn't handled correctly. In other words, you know, you had some errors on the return and now there's been a new assessment that means you owe more taxes. Generally, if you've got a dispute with that, you can provide your information yourself, get it filed, and have it taken care of in a fashion that isn't, you know, technically too complicated for you to handle. So I'm going to put in the show notes links to the U.S. Tax Court where you can see what the petition looks like. You can even see the guide for pro se or people who represent themselves. I'll also give you I'll attach a copy of what the CP-3219A notice looks like, that statutory notice of deficiency. My key advice to you is if you do get a letter like this, find out what the day on the notice is, and that's in the upper right-hand corner. Count out those 90 days and make sure that if you're going to respond, you do it well in advance of that 90th day. Because once it passes, you lose your golden ticket to the tax court. And you don't want to do that. And don't think that because you're dealing with the IRS, you know, in advance of that 90 days, trying to work it more informally, that if you go past that 90 days and you're still communicating with the IRS, that somehow that's okay, that you can say, well, I was working with the IRS, so, you know, I should still have my right to file a petition if they don't agree with me. Doesn't work that way. So don't be fooled by that language in there where, hey, you can work it out with the IRS. Like I said, it's not deceptive because they do say, hey, that 90 days is drop dead. But people get misled by reading that information that they can sort of work it out with the IRS in advance and get, you know, and miss that 90th day. So with that, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a great week, and thank you for listening. If you or someone you know does get one of these notices and you think you need help, feel free to give me a call at 207-502-7181, or you can email me at jwade@jdwadelaw.com. If you're driving and you can't write this down, don't worry. It'll be in the show notes for you to later get. With that, have a great week. Thank you for listening. Bye.